Welcome to the Gray and Green Show. Two girls who will say what you're all thinking anyway.
I can't believe it. It's episode 20 of the Gray and Green Show. Rachel Gray and Jackie Green from 105.3 Hot FM in Grand Rapids. And we're happy to say we have a fellow coworker here with us today, Michelle McCormick from 97 LAV.
Yay.
Thanks for doing the show with us, Michelle.
There's no canned applause?
No. I'm sorry.
She's here.
Yeah. This is exciting.
I know. Michelle, thanks for doing the show with us today. There was some jealousy in the building.
You know, I walked where you do the show, it's like a fishbowl and there's windows.
Yeah.
And I walked by and I thought, oh, there's another girl in there broadcast. Oh, there's Dave Jackinette.
They brought Dave Jackinette in, but not me.
Hi, girls.
One thing you may not know is Jackinette is our biggest fan. We have to give a shout out to him every week. He listens every single Wednesday.
Aww.
Sometimes before he even drives home to Kalamazoo, which is an hour ride for him. But yes, we adore Dave Jackinette. In fact, he came up with our topic last week. But I want to know how the week's going with Jackie Green. What's up with Greenlee? Is everything good?
You know, everything's good.
Really? You had like sexy mama photo shoot with
baby. Yeah, we did mother-daughter photos Monday, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
She was good until the last like 10 minutes, and then she got fussy and like screaming and pulling at my bra and my shirt. And I was like, calm down, baby. Just smile one more time. But other than that, it was good.
How was Valentine's Day with Jimmy?
Really good. We had a heart-shaped pizza, which is our annual tradition.
Okay, so my fat ass saw the commercial for that, and I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't go out to my fancy dinner tonight.
Oh, dude, we've gotten a heart-shaped pizza every year since 2007.
That's like your tradition?
It's our thing.
Well, that's adorable.
Well, because in 2007, we were really poor, so we could only afford pizza.
You don't think it's adorable? I think it's kind of cute.
Well,
you know who else does that? Okay, so I love the Today Show. Michelle loves the Today Show. Mm-hmm. You know this hussy they got filling in for Dylan on the Today Show
now
the weather?
Oh, yeah.
She's with Willie, who Michelle and I also jointly love. Willie Geist.
Okay.
Love him.
Yeah.
They've got this little Pop-Tart filling in for Dylan because she's on maternity leave, but she was talking about this heart-shaped pizza, too. Mm. Apparently, you and her have something in common.
Literally, it's pizza shaped like a heart. It's nothing special.
Not extra cheese or
it's just a pizza.
Ranch dressing.
It's a pizza. I hate ranch with a passion. Don't ever say ranch in my presence.
Wow.
Well, I hate ranch so much.
Well, there you have it.
Oh.
Aaron and I actually had a pretty good day yesterday.
Hey,
Valentine's Day, usually for us, like we never do anything like super intense for it. I actually think it's kind of a dumb holiday and we're always like, man, no gifts. But this year we said no gifts and he still got me a card and flowers. With a card at the inside, and I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning for the show, and I walk out of my kitchen. I love Friends, and it's a card that says, "You're my lobster."
Oh, for God's sake.
I knew Michelle was going to say that.
He's your lobster.
He's my lobster.
She's your lobster.
She's so cute.
And on the inside, it said, "I can't wait to see what amazing mom you're going to be."
That is sweet.
He's
tender. Adorable.
He's turning into dad, so he's tender now. It's something I'm getting
used
to.
I woke up and he had put flowers for me and Greenlee out with two cards.
Did you get him?
Two cards.
Yeah, Greenlee a card.
Fresh.
Did you get him anything?
I got him a card and then just a couple little things I knew he needed.
Yeah, I didn't get Aaron anything because we decided on no gifts. Who's an ass?
You're carrying his child.
That's right. That's gift enough.
That's a gift.
It's almost
a
year.
Look at this, buddy.
You can't drink for almost a year.
By the way, they lie and say it's 9 months. It's 10.
It really is 10 months.
It is. Yeah.
I was trying to explain that to one of our coworkers the other day. He's an idiot. He doesn't really get it when it comes to the baby stuff. But I'm like, it's actually 10 months. Like some of the weeks.
I can't imagine if you go 2 weeks over.
Not saying that'll happen. Right. I know. Well, make sure you look for Gray and Green Show on iTunes, Gray and Green Show on Facebook, the Gray and Green Podcast at gmail.com if you want to hit us up with any questions. Thanks to Jim Perez. Jim Perez is another loyal listener of ours. He loves to send us stuff. And to Julia. She said she loves to listen to our podcast.
Oh, cool.
When
thanks, Julia.
Her kids are sleeping. It's her
she doesn't
break.
Want them to hear.
Yes. She said she likes a bunch of liberal women in this conservative town.
I love that name, Julia. You don't hear it enough.
I love that name, too.
You don't hear it enough.
I like that. Do you like Juliet?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
I think it's a pretty name,
too. That is such a pretty name.
Yes, I've been toying with that one in the baby name department.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, so wait, are you feeling a girl now?
You know, I don't know. I find out on Monday.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
this
Monday.
Monday?
I'm 19 weeks pregnant. On Monday, I'll be 20 weeks exactly.
How are you going to tell the world? Are you going to do like a cut the cake and it's blue?
You know,
what are we doing?
Just tell us. I think I'm just going to tell my family.
Yeah.
But I want to do something fun during the morning show where like we, I'm going to do like a gender reveal with Facebook Live, but we're also going to do, I haven't even told my morning show partner this, but this is what we're doing. Oh. We're going to play songs like girl songs, like girl, like Gwen Stefani, I'm just a girl, if it ends up being a girl, or a boy song. I haven't figured out the boy song yet, but I just came up with that this morning in the shower.
I love it. It's really cute.
Yeah, so that's like what it. We're going to be
like
doing.
It. Very cute.
But we won't be announcing it that Monday. It's actually going to be that following Thursday that we'll be announcing what the baby is.
Oh my God. You're not going to make us wait,
are
you?
Hang on.
Oh, I got choked on the hoop that I just jumped through. Yeah. What? Tell us already.
You're not going to make us wait until the following.
I will tell the two of you.
All right. Oh, yeah, thank God. Hoop.
I know. My
I would
two
go crazy.
People.
Can you make, I would go crazy. I would probably text you a million times.
Yes, I know.
We would come knocking on your door.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. One of the reasons we wanted to have Michelle in today was because, Michelle, I've always looked at you, and this is weird, but like a mentor kind of. Uh-huh. Because Michelle, you may not know this, Jackie, is the reason I got this job in Grand Rapids.
What? Well, I won't take full credit, but yes.
Really?
You have to tell.
I had no idea.
Quickly tell her the story, because this podcast today is actually about Michelle and her career, but she was the reason I am sitting here today.
We were looking for, I get to help, sometimes they send me tapes, our company, and we get to help find talent and place talent for Cumulus Radio. Well, just so happens our ops manager, he was looking for somebody to come on the show, and I had filled in with gravy here. Oy, honey. Anyway, and so we were walking by, and I stopped in my tracks because I heard her voice and her tape. We call them air check tapes, you guys, but it's just when they play. You send pieces of audio, an audio resume, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Darren was listening to it, and I went, who is that? And he goes, she already got a job. I go, call her.
I go, call
that
her
girl
anyway.
Is a star. And she was working, and you were working.
She's a star.
Port Huron, you're a star. Kid, you got Moxie, see?
Waiting for it.
I know. You got Moxie, kid. Chip off the old block. No, and she, it was just electrifying. And so they brought in somebody else.
Yeah.
Accidentally. And then that girl didn't work out.
Somehow that slipped through.
Yeah, we tripped over a girl and she ended up getting the job. And so they finally got to get you, which is exactly what it was meant to be.
Yeah. So Michelle is the reason I get to do this in Grand Rapids. And we've become like best friends over the last 5 years.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But Michelle, you've been doing this for so long. The reason they ask her to scout talent is because she knows what she's doing.
Right.
How many years ago did you start in radio?
I was 30. Wait, I was 19 and I'm 52. So 33
years ago.
Did I do the math? Yeah, 33 years.
How old were you when you started?
19.
19?
Mm-hmm. I auditioned. Mm-hmm.
Where did you audition?
At WGRD in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm.
And you got the job?
I did.
That's where I started.
Here,
WGRD.
Well, here's the deal. I went to Central Michigan University for broadcasting, and then I had a Le Car, this little tiny Renault Le Car. It's a junky car. By the way, there was a car one time that blew off the Mackinac Bridge. It was a Le Car. That's how tiny these cars are. I swear to God. So I drove that thing, and it had a hatchback, and I had air checked. My tapes in the day were reel to reel.
Yeah.
And they all got stolen out of my car, and I had this interview at GRD.
God.
So Jack Swart was a guy. He was the program director, and he called me, and they were in the Waters building in downtown Grand Rapids at the time, which was this iconic building because LEV was there and GRD was there. It was this big iconic building. So, and downstairs were all the studios. And so I went there and he said, well, what do you sound like? And I go, all my stuff got stolen out of my car. And he said, which they left money, which was really weird. And
I had
to go in a booth and read copy. And I'm 19 years old shaking.
Oh my God,
this copy.
So nervous.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll call you. We'll let you know. And this is before cell phones and everything.
Right.
So I'm like, nobody uses the phone. Nobody gets on the phone. And I got the job part-time at WGRD. And I actually when people say I slept at the station? I slept at the station because they had an AM station. So I was full-time on the AM station middays, part-time on the FM station, because you want to be on the FM station.
Right.
So that's how it started. Yeah.
Wow.
Audition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once you did your part-time gig, when did you make it to full-time?
It was about, I would say maybe a year, year and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
And full-time. They gave me evenings, and that used to be broken up to broadcast. Radio stations used to be broken up. Mornings were 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 2 was middays. 2 to 7 was afternoons. 7 to 10 was nights. And then the late nights were 10 to 2. And that was a real shift, and you got a salary for it.
Right.
And then overnights, there was an overnight 2 to 6, which was 4-hour shift. And they were all like salaried shifts.
Right. And that's what's so different about now, because there are so many stations that don't have live people all day long. What year was this? Late 80s?
Yeah, late 80s. Mid 80s.
Not only will we not have live 84. People, but we wouldn't even have anyone on that late.
Right.
Like, not just no one on.
I mean,
and this is before, you guys, deregulation happened in the early 90s. And so we were our own. There was only GRD. We were against everybody else. I mean, one company owned one station in each market.
Instead of like our building where there's 5 stations?
Dude, yes. Deregulation happened in the 90s that made, so now broadcast companies could come in, and what was called a monopoly before, they could own. See, right now you can own stations up to 40% of the market for advertising dollars.
Right.
That's why Cumulus comes in and says, okay, we can own 6 stations. But before that, no, we were all against each other, and we were only one station.
That's nuts.
If you worked for WGRD or WLAV or Hot FM, you worked for that company, and that's how many broadcast companies were in the town.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I know. I love how she always says that whenever she talks about it. It was awesome.
You know what? I still think it's awesome, though. I can't. I'm serious.
And that's why you could hire so many people for other shifts, because you weren't hiring for other stations, too.
And if you worked, and you were such a team, you had like 20 on-air people just for one station.
Whoa.
And you had all these part-timers.
God, I bet that was fun.
We got like 3.
Back in the day.
Right, back in my day.
Whippersnappers. But so that's how it worked out then. And it was really cool.
So you kind of moved up that ladder.
I did nights 10 to 2.
Okay.
And then I got 7 to midnight shift, or 7 to 10 or something like that. So then I had this guy come to town. We had the same boss, the same company. It was just like, if you ever want to watch an old show, WKRP in Cincinnati, like the owner was like upstairs.
I've seen that. I know what you're talking about.
Like the owner, when there was a news department, and we had reporters, because you did news in the morning show. So we had like 6 reporters that went out and did news.
Right.
And they came back and they actually did news on the radio, and we had our own news department and weather department and traffic department.
You know what? Actually, my old station that I came from in Port Huron, that's what we did. I used to have to cover city council meetings. I'd have to cover elections. I would stay up until midnight and then have to go to bed and do the morning show the next day.
You carried the tape recorder with you. And
I had a tape recorder and I'd go back to work at night at midnight, and I'd write my broadcast news stories for the news channel.
It's a whole different world.
It's great. Well, it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
That was 7 years ago though. Right. Now at this point,
like, each call letter means something. And like WGRD stands for Grand Rapids Daytimer, because it was, you have to sign off at dusk. You signed off and you said, this is XRP, blah, 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 GRD signing off. And you signed off at dusk meant for many times on the FM dial, but the AM went all night. Yeah.
That is really interesting. I did not know that.
Yep.
Okay, so when did you get into mornings?
Okay, so I was doing nights. Well, then this guy came to town to run, to be our general manager, and he was this big boss jock back in the 50s. He worked at CKLW, which was a huge station in Canada, which was a Detroit station. And if you were the Beatles or any big band, you wanted CKLW to play your song. And there was a woman named Rosalie Trombley who was there. She was their just receptionist. Mm-hmm. And she had a good ear for a hit.
But they called her like the heart of that place.
Yeah, she was it.
Yeah.
So Bob Seger's song Rosalie was written about her. She was mortified that she wouldn't play it.
I've seen this documentary.
But Paul McCartney would go and say, hey, play our song. And she would go, it's not a hit. But if they played it, it was a hit nationwide. So he worked there in that time. And so he was now a grown man. He was CKLW, Big Jim Edwards. And by the way, Big Jim Edwards, they had the same names, and guys would leave and another Big Jim Edwards would come. Like, they keep the same 4 names on CKLW. Hey, I was Big Jim Edwards from 61 to 63.
What?
Yes. Yes. Many stations,
really?
Radio stations did that.
No, Eric Zane was on a show that did that.
Yeah, you
where
started there.
They had what's called the poor boy in Detroit.
Yeah, you're
and he was always a different poor boy.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
After someone left, a new guy was
many
in, and he was the poor boy.
Boss jock radio stations had their morning guy was, you know, Shadow,
always
whatever.
Always the same name.
Yeah, a lot of stations.
That's
so
crazy.
He came to Grand Rapids. We were
Big
lucky
Jim
enough.
Edwards?
His real name is Jim Davis. Big Jim Davis.
Oh, okay.
Genius.
He
came to Grand Rapids. Yeah, and so he said, you're on at night. I want to hear your voice during midday. So he gave me the middays.
And that was when you got the Michelle McCormick show.
Yep. And he would say, smile. Have more smile in your voice. WGRD. Smile. WGRD. Smile.
Yes.
And so I did middays for years. And then he said, I used to do stand-up. I was a stand up. I used to stand up locally.
Yeah, I know.
And so he said that.
You did?
And he said, so then we'll do, then I want to put you on. He came to one of my events. Another thing, Ruth Butler was a woman. Okay, Bob Feeder writes for Only About Radio in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We had our own radio writer here in Grand Rapids, Ruth Butler. She wrote for the Grand Rapids Press, and she was the broadcast columnist. And so if some drama was going on in radio, so-and-so is Rachel Gray's pregnant.
Right.
She's due out. I mean, it was like a gossip column. So she, there was a roast for her, and I went and did this roast for her, and our boss was there and said, I'm putting you on mornings. So that's how. I
mean, so that's
it just
how.
Just was happenstance.
They were like, wow, this bitch is funny. Put her on.
Girl, make people laugh.
Girl.
So they put me with a guy named Frosty Stillwell, who is working Jamie Frank and Frosty in L.A. He works in Los
Frosty
Angeles.
Frosty Stillwell?
Yeah, Jamie Frank Frosty. Jamie, she's a hoot. They are on, if you watch Dish Nation, they do Dish Nation on television. And they're a huge show making millions in L.A. But he was my first partner, Forrest.
Question, and this is kind of off. I mean, it's still in the realm, but... What kind of was rate? Did you have like a genre at the time, like of music, or how was that?
It was GRD played. They were kind of top 40, then they went real top 40 in near the end of the 80s.
Well, I feel like 40. Now,
no kidding, I didn't know
wasn't
that.
Rock at
well,
all.
I feel like now we have a lot of like genres very specific. Top 40, pop. There's so many options.
Mm-hmm.
When you got started, were there that many options?
There was AOR, which was album oriented rock, which is like LAV would play. Like,
yeah.
And there was,
which is now like classic stuff.
Right.
But.
Right. So there was AOR and top 40 and then, adult contemporary. And then,
right.
And then hot adult contemporary, hot AC. So yeah, pretty much the same as.
Oh, okay.
That.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So not much different.
It
when
just
it
feels like we've had such a split in the last like 20 years of music, like with classic rock, alternative rock, you know, metal.
Well, the rock stations
hip-hop.
Didn't know what to do because now a station like GRD, they play rock, and that's the only forum for like at the time. Well, when grunge rock was huge, but Nine Inch Nails, blah, 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 blah. You know, they were the only station. That's why how they exploded in the 90s when all those grunge bands came out. That exploded the rock format.
Oh, okay.
So here you are. You get your first show on middays because somebody sees you do Ruth Butler's roast.
Mm-hmm.
You go in to do your own show the first day. How old are you?
20. Mason was born. So 24.
What are you thinking? I mean, 24. You're going in, you're getting ready to do your very own show. You have the Michelle McCormick show, which, by the way, guys, back then did not happen often.
No. Well, first,
it barely happens now.
That's funny because first they partnered me with Frosty. So they partnered me. And then he left and they partnered me with a guy who's still in the business named Denny Schaefer, who is crazy. And then they kept finally Revolving Men and these guys would go off to these bigger markets. But I was a mom, you know, and stayed here. And so then I said, you know what? I'm just going to do this. So it was Michelle McCormick in the morning, which you're right. It was, there was one other girl. Her name was Lisa Dent. She was the only other girl in the country.
Lisa Dent, who does
doing a morning
Lisa
show.
Lisa Dent does the country station now in Chicago.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She was in, I think, Arizona. I remember I called her and I said, you know what? She helped me with how to negotiate a contract because I said, you know, I'm the only one. I'm the only, what do I do? Don't, kid, don't. You got Moxie, kid. Don't let him do this. Bit, bit, bit. So I just really, you know, did what she told me to do. And so it was a, it was hard. It was a lot because it's a boys club.
Oh,
big time.
Yeah.
And for you, I mean, it's already rare now, and I can only imagine what that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah, and then it was fun. I got to be the lead, and I got to pick what, you know, who I wanted to have my partner.
Right.
Because in that day, the worst thing you could say about a free female on the radio is she's a laugh box.
Oh.
And that's when when the guy says something funny, you just go, which, you know.
You're there to laugh at his joke.
There's nothing worse than the giggle
girl. No one wants to be that.
All have done that, though, even this week.
Yeah.
On our own radio show.
At some point, you got to fake it.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's true.
Yeah. So I was lucky in the day. And
And back then, I mean, is it true that back then they brought you 8 balls of Coke to play the record?
I will tell you. So there were only 11 female music directors in the country. And when I was doing middays prior to getting mornings, I applied for the job. Like 6 people applied for the job at WGRD to be music director. And what you did, the record companies would come in and they'd say, hey, we want you to go on this new Michael Jackson Bad album. We want you to get on the song first. And I'm like, it's not going to fly here in Grand Rapids. And
right,
they're like, okay, well, what are we going to... Here, I'll give you... I'll take my private jet to Guam or what... I mean, seriously.
Right.
I got to be part of that. And they would have these huge... They would take us on these huge, elaborate trips. And
what?
Yes. And they would take us... Like, if there was a... If you two was opening in Dublin, they'd fly you out there to see it. I mean, you go, oh, I'm researching.
Was it the music director that got all these perks?
It was the music director.
Which now is a job that's obsolete.
The program director didn't choose the music. I did.
That's amazing.
Right. So yeah. I was the Rosalie Trombley. Record company would come in. She can't play my album, she. And so he would play a song for me, and I would go, you know what? We're not going to put that in rotation this week. And they'd go, what? And so, yes, they would come back. Whatever you wanted. If you did, I mean, back in the day.
Had money like that.
There are stories about WLAV, people doing, you know.
Blow off a record.
Yeah, you'd go into the conference room, and they'd be doing blow, because that's what you did back in the 80s.
I mean, there are pictures of LAV in the 80s with strippers standing in the studio. Yeah.
I got to meet, I had a personal meeting with David Lee Roth that one time because.
Holy crap!
In David Lee Roth, Denise George, who is still, I don't know if she's still a record rep, big time record rep.
Yeah.
I loved her. And here I am, 25, there's 11 of us record reps, a girl.
Yeah.
So it was so fun when you got a female record rep.
Right.
So we did a little thing, a little question answer, and he grabbed me like a six pack. Grabbed me, and Denise George's husband pulled him away and smacked him.
Did you say grabbed me like a six pack in the hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's my David Lee Roth story.
David Lee Roth grabbed your crotch?
I went, you must have me confused with somebody else because I was. Because not only, you know, was I a girl in radio and all that stuff, but I wanted to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So you were not grabbing my crotch, if you know what I'm saying. And so it was a boys club, and I was adamant about being professional. And I.
What did you do? Like, when he did that, what did you do?
I flipped out.
I did flip out. And Denise George's husband smacked him. It was like awesome. It was like the best thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's one of the many. But being the music director, the stories. My gosh. You got to meet. Okay, John Cougar.
Best person.
Yeah, best person, Phil Collins.
Phil Collins?
Do you see he's coming out of retirement?
Yeah, nicest guy. Phil Collins looked like Phil Collins. Like, I was starstruck meeting him.
Yeah.
And then the other, David Bowie, I got to sit down with David Bowie, and I practiced a million times. He's got one blue eye and one brown eye. And I went to Central Michigan, and his Rolling Stone cover was on my wall. We'd kiss it before we'd enter and leave the room.
Oh.
David Bowie. And so Bowie, I was practicing, you have the most amazing eyes I've ever seen, David Bowie. You have the most amazing eyes. So then he shook my hand and he said to me, you have the most amazing eyes I've ever seen. He freaking read my mind. David Bowie, yes.
No.
Read my mind. Girl, please. He read my mind. And I just looked and went, it's your mind. Yeah.
I don't even have words.
No, there were no
words. That is just incredible.
He read my mind.
And that's the thing. We don't get that now. Like, I love hearing these stories from Michelle, because these are people that I grew up with as a kid, that I've always loved, that I've always looked up to. And she tells me these stories and like, oh my God,
it's amazing.
I would do effing anything to go back and do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And radio was, the heyday of radio was when the record companies really pushed you. And now there's YouTube and people are releasing things on their own.
Right.
You don't go into a studio and build a record anymore. You do it at your house or whatever. And so that was really, really a lot of fun.
Literally anybody can do a radio show now.
Yeah.
Technology has changed this industry at such a high level. It's unbelievable when you sit and think about it. And I laugh because there's people still in this building that don't move with the technology and don't even know how to edit audio.
No.
Which is insane.
We took, until not that long ago, 96, 97, I was splicing. When you got a phone call, you recorded it on a reel-to-reel and you had a little splicing thing there with splicing tape. And I was cutting out if they said the F word or something. I was cutting that out and splicing it and queuing it back up and clunk hitting it when, hey,
I would be terrible at that.
Splicing tape. No, you wouldn't. You guys would get used to it. It's just like the digital thing, only really cutting it.
You're really cutting it.
But what if you snip too much?
Then you're screwed.
Oh,
then
see,
you tape it back on.
Right, if you accidentally clip off an S in your commercial, you're done.
Sometimes your splices, you know, if you didn't put the tape just so, if it overlapped, you could hear the splice.
I can't even imagine.
Oh, God,
that is crazy. What were you going to say? I did cut you off, though. What were you going to say about John Cougar Mellencamp?
Oh, so John Cougar Mellencamp, he was just Johnny Cougar at the time.
Yeah.
Our listeners, like 20 of them, got to do sound check with him at Wing Stadium.
That's cool.
And I was dancing in the front, and he went to pull me up on stage. And
you're like Courtney Cox with Bruce Springsteen.
Right? Well, here's what's funny. He thought it would just be a one-arm pull. Turns out the girl was a little chunky. He was a two-arm, and then it was like the bodyguards were hoisting me.
Somebody get this girl up here.
So like dancing, But I did get to dance with him. But oh my God, it wasn't.
I got up there,
right?
Yeah, because he can only see me from, you know, chest up. Yeah, there
right.
Was no, I didn't.
What do you always say?
I always look good in a car.
Yeah, always look good in a car.
Yeah.
She's the car model.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How much do you miss it? Do you miss it?
I miss it. I miss it for the young girls who are up and coming. Miss it for them because the salaries were really great. You had, it was full time, no questions. It wasn't no part time. There were part time weekenders.
Right.
But you had a salary, and I miss it for the experiences for the younger crew. I do. I feel like you guys are missing out on what I think is such a, there's so much sanctum around radio, and that's why I love it so much still, because of all the things that I've done in the past. So that's why I miss it. So that you guys don't get to, we did the show from Ireland. My friend who does radio, they did the show. They did Around the World in 8 days. They did it from every country around the world. I mean, stuff like that.
What? And radio stations had more money than God.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tourism Ireland would pay for that, because that's the thing is, there wasn't the internet to advertise. So they advertised with you, and you were going to Ireland.
That's where money was spent.
So I miss it in that respect, for sure.
Right.
And in the 90s, the money was sick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, it was sick.
Did men still make more then?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They still do today.
I know they do today. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah, we've had more than one episode about that.
Oh, yeah. We still do today. Yeah. Yep. It's a hard-fought battle. It really is. It's a hard battle. I mean, to this day, I sometimes, and I have women, I had a girl ask me a couple weeks ago to help her with contract and look over all her stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, well, wait a minute, what's your role? And she said, well, I'm a second and we're equal on the show. And I go, was he there first? What's the deal? She goes, no, but she knew what he made. And that's the thing. They say, oh, don't talk about what you make. But I hope more people do talk about what they made, right. So that women get, so it gets outed that we don't make as much.
Right.
And it was actually double they were offering him and her. And she was a star.
Mm-hmm. She had no idea.
So I said, hold out. Yep, hold out. And so she did. And they really wanted her, and she was going to walk and didn't.
Right.
They got her.
I think all of us have this fear that if we threaten to walk,
they'll let you.
That they will just say, well, see you later.
Right. You have to be able to get up and walk out, have that much.
You have to know that it's okay. Yeah. Yep. If I leave, I can get
and
by.
Mean it, because they can smell fear.
Oh, yeah. They know if you're just
I've always been bad at that. I've never been able to say, well, if you're not going to pay me, then bye.
I know. Me too. I couldn't.
Yeah. Because I think the hardest thing for us is, like, I mean, this job, you have to be ready to move. How many places have you lived?
You know, I was lucky. Just three.
Yep. Wow.
I've had, I think a good female in our business can write her own ticket. I still believe that to this day.
You've been preaching that to me since
I
started.
It's the truth. And I've had opportunity, but I had Mason, and his dad was here, my son, who's now 28. His dad was here, and we co-parented, and that was really important for some normalcy in his life.
Right.
It was important for me, so that's why. But yeah, I worked in New Jersey, which was fun, at a huge station called New Jersey 101.5, and it's a huge, it's the biggest FM talk station in the nation.
Wow.
I did a talk show. That was huge. And then CBS in Detroit. I worked there for 5 years. That was a blast. So,
how does content now versus then differ to you? Like, when you're trying to appeal to your audience now?
Okay, well, you couldn't find it as easy. I mean, they would mail us prep sheets. Can you imagine
how much mail?
Yeah, it would be. They mailed us this prep sheet, and it was called PrepNet, and they mailed it. And by the time you got the stories, they were like 2 weeks old.
Right.
Because there wasn't the internet.
And now I would never do a story that was 2 weeks old.
Oh, no, never.
So that's one way that content has changed. And I think it's changing. You really have to perform it better now than you did then, because you were the only game in town then. So if you talked about, you know, those teachers in Bangor, oh my God, that's going crazy. Those teachers that we're talking about, they did Mary, Screw or Kill in Bangor here in Michigan. They got somebody videotaped them.
At the bar.
And now another teacher duct taped her student too. So Bangor, what the hell's going on teaching in Bangor here in Michigan? But so that story, you have to do it now better, stronger, and faster, because everybody has that same story.
Right.
Everybody knows it. So your take on it has to be completely unique now, or guess what? They don't care. They can read it. If you don't say, okay, well, I had a teacher who came onto me once. I mean, so if you don't have your own unique angle, that's how it's differed. You aren't just reporting the story. You better have a unique angle.
You have to have something that pulls
And the people now, if you don't grab them in the first, which has always been true of radio, if you don't grab them and shake them by the lapel in the first 10 seconds, they're on to the next thing.
Well, and that's another question I have too, because now it's all about be shorter, be quicker, say it quicker, get it out. How was that different, or has it always been like
that? Oh, yeah, no. It used to be.
Yeah,
well,
you could talk
schools.
Much longer.
Time to
well,
talk.
It, two schools of thought. There, a guy came out with the invention of, Dan O'Day was one of them, the invention of Top 40 radio. Yeah. And when Top 40 radio was invented, it was called liner-driven radio. You read the liner of the intro of the song. Hey, 105.3 Hot FM plays the greatest hits. And that was it. Yeah. So that, they really shut you up in Top 40 radio.
And that's kind of where what we work in is Top 40 radio.
Because it's always forward momentum, always forward momentum. And, you know, it's a very, and that works in the younger, you know, 18 to 34 audience because they're always forward, what next? So that's why album-oriented stations, you'll hear those guys go on for
Minutes.
On and on and on and on. And even in the 70s, you'll see an SNL bit sometimes about a jock in the 70s smoking a cigarette going, you know, this is a great effort from Zeppelin.
Right.
You know, so.
But they took their time then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love that album-oriented radio.
When stories would unfold.
Do anything. Yeah. Yeah. You would tell the story. Well, and that's the thing. It's much different. Now they're like, sum that baby up in 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
There. Right. Well, get into that new Bieber song.
Even switching, like, because I worked GRD, you know, for 4 or 5 years, and that was my first radio job, and that's alternative rock.
Mm-hmm.
That to the Top 40, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal because I listened to Top 40.
Total different energy.
Total different.
Yeah, different
the amount, energy. I had a break I've done more than once at GRD. That'd be like 2-3 minutes on an afternoon show. And my boss was like, loved it. That was funny. 3 minutes long.
Right, because
I went 3 minutes long
tour.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking about how I had, you know, if I'm playing a Skillet song, I had Skillet in the studio and we have this long story and it was no big deal.
Yeah, you would
but
never
now,
get away with that.
If
on
I did
our
that,
station.
They'd burst in the door and be like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
But that's a difference in format.
And, I mean, and the other thing is you always promote what's coming up next. Taylor Swift. Come
yes.
up. Yeah, that's
tease, tease,
thing.
Tease.
The top 40 mentality.
Yeah. What advice would you have for Jackie and I?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've done this a lot longer than the two of us.
My thing about this is you guys are both huge talents. So you have the content. You're so entertaining. This podcast is so good. You guys are so great.
Oh, thanks, Michelle.
No, you guys have the gift.
See, I don't care what anybody else says. I only care what she says.
I know, I agree.
No, you guys
She talks about how she's, you know, had somebody she called to coach her through her contract. Yeah. I call her.
Right.
That's true.
Look, I'm getting goosebumps.
That's true.
But you're such huge talent. So in that regard, no. But the only thing... The part that I learned, either you have a gift or you don't. You guys have the gift. You have it. You're both it girls, no question. You're both so interesting and so funny, and you live the hysterical lives. But is the business side of it.
Yes.
I would say negotiate like you're a man. And that sounds so sexist, but it means a lot of things. That means on the day when you're going to talk about your contract, let's say, they call you in, they want to talk about your show. You better dress up. You better be in a suit. You better be in the other thing is you better, when there's meetings, there should be I know we're in radio, but there should be some professionalism and confidence. That part of it, the business side of it is what I would say. Never let that down. Never let that fade, the business side of it.
Right, because nobody will take you seriously if you don't take yourself.
And if you're not good at negotiating, somebody gave me this good advice. Have someone do it for you. It doesn't have to be an agent. Some girls have had their husbands do it, and guess what? They've gotten a lot more than I ever got. So,
my husband. My husband's a Nancy. He'd never be able to
really.
Pull that
Jim want God love Aaron.
No, God
Jim
love
does
him.
Sales, and he's more than once said, "Get me. I'll be your agent. And I'll go in there because it's like bull crap."
There's nothing wrong with having it, and I'll tell you where I learned that. There's Jeff and Jared. They're $7 million a year. These guys make in the radio. They do it in San Diego, but Jer now has left. But Jer used to own his own company, and he's the one who first told me, oh my God, it was at a morning show seminar. He said, people like Michelle McCormick, they're afraid. They're afraid of success. And he's 100% right. You're afraid of what could break open. And the minute I got over that, everything broke open for me monetarily.
Right.
Because you can be as good and great, and they love you. Oh, you're so good. We love you. You could have huge numbers in the morning. We love you. We love you. But if you aren't getting the paycheck, forget it.
Then why does it matter? Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so it's a fun job. People notice me. I don't care. Pay me.
Right.
So he said first things like he who says the number first loses and blah, blah, blah. But he's the one who really instilled in me how important it is to have somebody else do it for you.
Right.
And so after that, I started kind of negotiating for other girls in the business. My first one, she was working in Minneapolis and she was working on a very popular show. And I called her boss didn't know who I was from Adam. I didn't say I was a radio person. I didn't say I wasn't an attorney, but I didn't say I was.
Yeah.
And I said, here's what she wants. And I negotiated for her. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you know somebody who does it better, then have them do it or learn how to do it yourself. And that's, right.
Yeah.
That's scary. It is.
It's like it's you said, you got to be willing to really walk if you're going to threaten it.
Yeah.
And that's what's like, I don't know about you, Rachel, but like when I got the job here, I knew I wanted back in radio. So I felt desperate. So he handed me a paper. I don't even think I looked at what they were going to give me. I just said,
not when I started.
Here you go.
Not when I did turn down their first offer when I started.
Yeah. You actually got spicy. I remember because we talked about you.
Well, they she had it spicy. Coming from what I've heard.
Yeah. No, they did.
They hired somebody over me.
What I loved
after
about
they had you come in.
Yeah. Which was terrible. But what I loved about her was I remember because I got a phone call from the guy who's hiring you and he goes, well, how do you take this? And I started he goes, the gall of this girl, she's asking for another couple grand. And I started chuckling. He goes, well, I'll give it to her. Give it to her. Oh my
couple
God.
Grand.
They actually ended up giving me a free place to live. And the funniest thing about that was at the time, I mean, it did. It saved me $8,000 a year. It was great.
Right.
Exactly. I didn't pay a single utility bill. They had no idea what they set me up with.
Yeah, it was
that's how I met you. We both had that same deal.
Yeah. It's about $20,000 worth of stuff a year.
Really
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of
that's
stuff.
Huge. That's huge.
I packed away money like a crazy person living in that apartment. But when I got that call, I was so pissed when they offered me that job because they hired somebody else over me and then she didn't work out because she couldn't read on the radio.
Yeah.
The thing that drives me nuts about this business, and you have also said this to me, this is nothing against you, Jackie.
No,
nobody gets a chance anymore.
No.
Everybody's all about market equity. This person's been here for da-da-da-da-da.
And here's the other thing. Don't ever put anybody on the radio who's not a radio person. So while it's novelty to put a television person on the radio, because that's what it was, and she was even a marginal television person. And I don't mean that.
Yeah.
She hadn't worked in it for more than a year.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
She was like,
lovely girl. But she was marginal at best. And so put her on the radio. It's a completely different animal.
Disaster. It is.
Completely different animal.
I could never do the news.
No,
at least your job in the news was like fun and laid back.
You were great.
Well, and I had already done radio for 5 years.
Yeah.
Then I went to news and I wasn't in news very long.
Here's what I liked about you. When you would come here and you would do television live shots, if it doesn't get done, I would do everything myself or else it wouldn't get done. So on a live broadcast, we used to have to drive, set up the MARTA unit. We called set up the unit, call the client,
I had
get
a Marty.
It all plugged in working. You would come in here. This is why I said this girl's got moxie, can't you see? You come in here and you go, yo, we need two mics. I asked for two mics. Where's the second mic? How are you going to mic? They don't have any lapel mics. And I'm like, oh, I like that girl. Because you said, and you go, shoot him from this angle. And I'm like, that you knew what you were doing. And it was up here and you were up here for something. Somebody's first day or something.
Your
expo. And I thought, I love that you barked at not in a mean way, but in a way where
you were assertive.
Where you go, who forgot the second mic? Somebody forgot the second mic. You go, we can't do this with one. And I was like, oh, okay. So But so that's the kind of advice. I mean, to be assertive and to know the business part of it. And the other thing is know what you're, when you're going for a job somewhere, we were kind of talking about this morning off the air, you should know what your station bills because billing is the morning show's worth about 11% to 15% of what the station bills. So if you bill, $2 million, 10% of that is 200 grand. So that should go into the morning show. I mean, if you think about that.
Right, absolutely.
So know stuff, know numbers, and know. I just talked to somebody not that long ago who was trying to get a job somewhere and floored the PD because they came in and said, they had an interview with the program director and they said, here's where your numbers were last spring. Here's where they are now. And here's where your money is. And why aren't you making the better money? And the guy just is like, oh my God, here's your job.
Right.
So the business end of it is really, really important.
I never would have thought of any of that stuff.
Yeah. That's always know what your station bills.
Right.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, your morning show, I mean, if it bills a lot of money, you should be getting paid a lot of money.
Right.
And the theory with that, when you hear these morning zoos and all these crazy morning shows, the thought process is this, that in like the Today Show, they're looser, they're not, is when somebody wakes up, they just want to know that the world's going to be okay and that everything's fine. And so, and they would like to smile. So if you can get them in the morning with a silly zoo format or whatever it is you're doing, boo, awooga, hey, boo, 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 welcome to morning radio. Come on, change your boy. My first radio morning show seminar. Some guy goes, "Hey, my name's Rocket." I go, "No, it's not."
I'm
in radio too, you clown. What's your real name? Hey, I'm Street Boy Danger Man. No, you're not. You're Steve. You're what? What did? Yeah, but but that's why they have radio morning shows. Because if I listen in the morning, the theory is I'm listening all day to your station.
Right.
That's why.
Which is why morning shows will bill 10 to 15%.
Yeah, sure. They deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to throw in there? I've loved this podcast.
This has been my favorite thing.
I know.
I feel like I've learned so much.
I know.
No, I really appreciate it. And I think I've always said that there's not a big farm team for women in radio. There's plenty of guys who are 20-something coming up who want to be on the radio.
Yeah.
There are very few. I'm 52. Oh, my God, I'm 52. I'm 52, and I still get phone calls for the top 40 station. Hey, we're looking for a morning person. And I always wonder, where are the 20 to 30-somethings? And when there are some who stick through the bumps, because it's bumpy, like you two have, and just... we're just lucky to have you, and it's thrilling to, I'm going to get all misty, but it's thrilling to watch you two, because you had been working in radio for how many years now? 5 years prior.
Yeah, I did.
What did you do, though? How did you get that?
You were interned in the morning show.
Yeah. And you, this is just your...
I got crazy lucky. Yes. I went to Specs Howard in Southfield, and I left college. I did Specs Howard for the 9 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And I finished Specs Howard. 2 months later, I got a call from my Specs Howard advisor that said, Port Huron Radio Station wants a morning show girl. I'm sending you over. See? I got voted like most entertaining in my class for Specs Howard. So I got first dibs on that.
See.
What? So,
wait, you got voted what?
Most entertaining air talent.
That's awesome. Wait, you never interned?
Huh?
You didn't intern?
No.
So you didn't have to sit there and get made fun of every morning?
Girl, I walked in. See? My first full-time radio gig was on a morning show.
To watch how far, God, both of you have come since, because I listened to you. I was just coming back from Detroit when you started, Jackie, and I'm like, who's this girl? This girl's got moxie. And then to watch you, radio's lucky to have both of you, and I just, it's a joy, and this podcast is amazing, too, and you guys are just...
We're having a lot of fun with it, to say the very least.
Thank you for having me.
My dream is a podcast, like a show like our podcast, but on air, where we don't have to be hidden online, because I don't know any two.
I know.
Shows.
We need advertisers. If you want to advertise on the station,
you know what? I will be your agent, and I will market the two women show, and we'll have a...
Yes.
What market? Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go?
We got ourselves a new agent.
Yeah.
She's going to call people, pretend to be smoking, and say, you've got moxie, kid.
These girls got moxie.
I got these two girls. I got moxie. See, one's popping a squat and having a kid, but that's okay. The other one has a kid, but that's okay.
But they're willing to make the jump for you.
All right.
You know what? You can catch them outside. How about that?
I taught Michelle that at her house last week. She has not stopped saying
it. I missed the boat on that.
I did too. I still don't know.
Totally late to that
I
party.
Still don't know.
The girl who was on Dr. Phil, Catch Me Outside, how about that?
Oh. I don't know
anything
about it. You
watched the video?
Another day.
It's this little Pop-Tart 13-year-old girl, and she's a bitch to her mom, and she says...
And she's on Dr. Phil.
She calls the audience hoes, and then she says, oh, you want to catch me outside? How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah,
I've seen people saying, how about that?
If I Google Catch Me Outside, here she is. Cash Me Outside,
and
how about that?
If you're one of the many people who've been in the dark about Cash Me Outside, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, it went viral quick.
Yes, it absolutely did. Everybody's been hashtagging how about that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming in today, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
She's like panic mode trying to get her
playing the how about that girl.
I'm sorry. You guys, thank you so much. Oh my God, shut off. Oh my God. Old person on a new iPhone. Oh my God.
I adore you. I'm so glad you did this with us today. And
you guys, thank you for having me. I'm
so
proud.
Oh yeah, you need to come back more.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my God. How about that?
How about that? Come back tomorrow. Come back the next day.
Look for Gray and Green Show on podcast or Gray and Green Show on Facebook. And you can also find Gray and Green Show on iTunes as well. We want your ratings. I know we're up to like 64. Thank you to Julie and James who are sending us emails. We want to hear from you. If you have show ideas, hit us up. It's grayandgreenpodcast@gmail.com. I don't know what we're doing next week, but find out.
We'll figure
next
something
Wednesday
out
before noon.
Expect a huge rating spike today.
Yes.
How about that?
How about that?
I'm done. I'm sorry.